Okay. So tonight is Sankirtan Sunday. It's a little wet out, but that doesn't, it sort of depends. Everyone's got to vote, and we got to see about the leaders when they get here. About the arrangements. We have spots out there for door-to-door Sankirtan tonight. Some devotees who would like to go out, we have opportunities. The door-to-door Sankirtan is very nice. Door-to-door means that you just knock on the door. There's lots of places. People are there waiting to get some transcendental knowledge. And it's very simple, actually. Yesterday we went out to many, many doors, knocked on doors, and it's a simple approach to actually introduce the literature into the home, especially around this time of year. One good mantra you can use is Merry Christmas. So a lot of people, when they open their doors, we just say Merry Christmas and hand them a packet of books, which we have packed up hundreds of books in these little plastic door hanger containers. And it looks so nice. You can see the books inside. So we say, Merry Christmas. And you can say a simple thing like, yeah, spiritual books, yoga, meditation, shows how to get happiness from within, something like that, really simple. And then we tell them we're doing a fundraiser to spread spiritual knowledge all over the world, and people are giving donations. Most people, like 9 out of 10 people, will just say, okay, just a minute, and they'll go get something and they'll come back. And some people, they'll open the door and then, you know, close it right away. But for the most part, yesterday we met so many nice people who were interested. I already mentioned the one wrestler opened the door. And then there was a couple of ladies from Peru. And the door was open. It was a nice day yesterday. And the screen was closed. So I knocked on the screen. And she came over and she had flour and stuff all over her because she was baking. And I could smell it. Smell of bread or something like that. So I said, you baked. And then I handed her some books, and she didn't speak English really well, but she was impressed that we were there. And I was with Bhakta Daniel. He looks very saintly anyway. And and so, you know, she was kind of happy. She could tell it was a spiritual thing we were doing, and people get enlivened by that. So then, just then, came up the stairs another lady. Apparently they lived in the same house together, about the same age. They must be in their 70s or something. And I had a Spanish book, so I handed it to her, and I told her what we were doing in Spanish, and then I asked her for donation. So meanwhile, while she was giving a donation on the porch, the other lady came back really enthusiastically with some baked bread that she had just taken out of the oven. She handed it to me. It was still warm, you know. She was so happy we were there. And then we taught them both the mantra. So we were standing on the porch with the warm bread and the books and everything like that. And we all chanted the mantra. It was very glorious, actually, you know. And they were very happy. It made it's indelibly etched in my mind, you know, this scene. And then there are other scenes, too. Like one door we went to, this old, old man opened the door. I mean, old means about to die. So that's what he looked like. He had a walker. And he was very gaunt and pale, and he opened the door, and as soon as I started to talk, you know, he looked and saw what we were doing. He said, get away. And I just wanted him to have, you know, a look or, you know, a touch or anything, because he looked like he could go any day. I've seen it before when people are close to death, and he was close. And you know, he closed the door as fast as he could before I could get anything in there. And I was thinking, you know, he was so close to having a little something. So anyway, we hung it on his door, because there is that option always. Maybe he'll reconsider later, but that's the backup for it. And touch the bag. He'll see the picture of Krishna, whatever. Maybe he's like Kamsa, and he'll, you know, it's like, darn it. But he'll be thinking of Krishna anyway. Prabhupada once said, we used to work in the airports a lot, and sometimes people didn't like seeing us there so much. So Prabhupada once said that, well, even if they see you and they're thinking as they walk by you, oh, there's that rascal Krishna man again. He said they're thinking Krishna, and therefore they get the benefit. You know, there was this, Rath Yatra in San Francisco, and there was a couple of stories that came out in the paper about it. And one story was written by a guy who was favorable to the Rath Yatra, but he only mentioned Krishna once in it. in the whole article that we were the International Cyber Krishna Conscious. And then there was another article from a guy who was against us. And practically every other sentence he said, Krishna, Krishna this, Rama, Hare Krishna, all the way through the article. And Prabhupada read both articles and he liked the unfavorable one better because it had more Krishna in it. So the holy name's powerful. So when we go to preach and, you know, we're presenting these things to people, you don't know what the effect will be, but it will be there, definitely. And just as you see, you know, even with the demons, like Putana, when she came to kill Krishna, she had this full intention. She had very deadly poison. She put it on her breasts and she was going to feed Krishna her breasts, and she did. But just before that, when she saw Krishna, she thought, this is the most powerful person in the universe. And she became a little afraid. And afraid she should be, too, because as soon as Krishna grabbed her breast and started sucking out the milk and the poison and everything else, she kept sucking, and he took out her life. And she was screaming, you know, to get him off, and he wouldn't get off. And, you know, she assumed her original gigantic form and died. And there was Krishna, a little baby, playing on her, on this gigantic demoness's breast. And all the residents of Vrindavan came and saw him playing there in this huge demoness. And however, Putana got liberation. You know, she got the same destination. It's kind of like a mother in the spiritual world because she had that intention that, well, she was going to try to kill Krishna, but she went as a mother. So she got the liberation and the benefit of the doubt. So it's all auspicious, and especially Sankirtan, you know, people are isolated, they're alone, they're in these little apartments. And there's quiet lives of desperation, but that when the transcendental knowledge goes inside the house and there's some interaction with the holy name and there's prasadam, and what to speak of people who come out and they're, you know, they're favorable or they offer a donation, then they get inestimable spiritual benefit. They get this sukriti, this bhakti unmukhi sukriti that goes in their bank account. Every living being has a bank account in their heart. And every time they come in contact with a devotee and they can do some service, they get what's called a jnata sukriti, unknown benefit. And then that makes a deposit in the bank account, in their heart. And then when they make more and more deposits, after a while it fills up, and then they decide all of a sudden one day they wake up and say, hey, I'm going to be a devotee. They see devotees and they think, hey, I want to be one of those guys. And everyone else is looking at them saying, what are you talking about? Where did this come from? I remember once my father, after I hadn't seen him for a long time, after I joined the movement. And he asked me one day, he was driving me, and we were in Berkeley or something, and he said, where did you get this idea to give your life to God? Where did it come from? I didn't teach it to you. And it must have come from some devotee somewhere, you know, getting some contact with the devotee. And that's what happens, you know, agyata sukriti, even beyond people's knowledge, they'll be promoted to a higher position. So Sankirtan's all auspicious, and we take this knowledge we know from the Shastra, how powerful Krishna is, and that he's incarnated in these literatures. You know, he incarnates in different ways to save the world, because the world needs saving, and he's always after it, you know, to save everyone in the world. The poor jivas are samohito jiva. They're covered by maya, and they're helpless. They can't get free on their own accord. So Krishna comes to save them, to rescue the jivas. And he sends all his representatives. And one of the ways he does that is he incarnates as the Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Upanishado Gavo Dogda Gopalam Nandana Parto Vatsa Sudhir Bhokta Dugdam Gita Mritam Mahat. Beautiful poetry that says that Krishna is like, he's the cowherd boy, and the Bhagavad Gita is a cow, and he's milking the cow, and the milk is the Bhagavad Gita. It's the you know, the wisdom of the Bhagavad Gita, and he's feeding it to Arjuna, who's just like a calf. And then the milk keeps coming, and it's meant for the whole world. And anyone who drinks the milk of Bhagavad Gita, then they get nourishment, and they're able to go back to Godhead. They're able to be saved from the perpetual bondage of the material world, of being covered by the modes of material nature. Living beings helpless against that. And really, you know, when somebody's in that condition, tribir gunamayir bhavir ebi sarvamidam jagat mohitam nabijananti mabibya paramavyayam. He's covered by the three modes of material nature, then he can't see what is what. And Prabhupada once compared it to an insane asylum. Have any of you ever been to an insane asylum? Yes? What was it like? Crazy. It was crazy. Tell us any detail.
It wasn't precisely an insane asylum. It was an old age home.
Okay.
And it was full of people with Alzheimer's disease and all mm-hmm. sorts of different mental problems.
Yes.
And just people just moaning and groaning or leaning over and drooling on themselves. And just like some people fighting with other people for no apparent reason. And, you know, like my grandmother was there. She had Alzheimer's and she was, you know, who are you? Where are you taking me? Why? You know, and she was talking to her parents who she saw floating around in the room and things like that. So it's
similar with my experience. My father was in a similar situation near the end. And everyone in there had some kind of an idea about who they were. Like there was one guy, I don't know if he used to be a carpenter or something, but he used to walk around all day long trying to fix things. And my father, ironically, he was a psychologist, and he was the head of the graduate department at San Francisco State, actually, and he oversaw graduate students who worked in a Alzheimer's place, in an Alzheimer's home. And when he got in the Alzheimer's home himself, he thought he was in charge of the whole place. Yes, and how was it? And he goes, oh, I think they're doing a good job. You know? And then there was, I mean, everyone had an idea of what they were doing there. There was the okie-dokie lady who all she said all day long was okie-dokie. She'd come around, okie-dokie, okie-dokie this, okie-dokie. But anyway, probably compared it to this kind of a situation. And when I saw that, I remember I was in the home there, and then I'd walk out on the street. I came to Santa Cruz, actually. I came the next day to do Sankirtan at Santa Cruz. I was walking down the street, and everyone was doing their particular activity in Santa Cruz that they do. And I was thinking, I don't see a difference between the home and the street here in Santa Cruz. Everyone had some, you know, idea of what they're doing. And, you know, this is what Krishna talks about in the Bhagavad Gita, that we have some kind of illusory idea. I have, you know, this body, I'm from a certain place, but it's will-o'-the-wisp. It's only passing through. It's not really our real identity. But we identify with it. And therefore, it's like an insane condition. Prabhupada quotes all the time about how, he said, this is scientific, because he says, once in a court case in India, this expert was called to the stand to judge whether the particular person who was being tried, the defendant, was sane or not. So he got up there on the expert witness stand and he said, Your Honor, as far as I'm concerned, I've studied many people. As far as I'm concerned, everybody's insane. So Prabhupada said, scientific proof that actually everyone's crazy. So it's a fact. Everyone's thinking there's something that they're not, which is the body. Identify with the body, which you see obviously when somebody leaves the body, they weren't the body because they leave it behind. And someone says, my father died. And then you say, no, he didn't die. He's right there. He said, no, he's dead. It's right there. He said, but he's gone. You didn't see him. You didn't even know who he was. So the soul's really an amazing entity. Aschayavat paschati kashyarenam aschayavat vadati tatayava chanya. Krishna says over and over again, he's amazing, he's amazing, he's amazing, he's amazing. Some see of him as amazing, some hear of him as amazing. Some even after hearing about him, they can't understand him at all. But the fact is, the soul's amazing, really. If you just look around and you think like that, the whole world becomes amazing, because how's it being animated? I mean, what is a living entity anyway? And what is consciousness? And that's what's behind the body, and it's part and parcel of Krishna. So anyway, the point is that people are in need of spiritual contact. They need it. They don't need anything else, actually. It's the only thing that's really lacking in the world. Is spiritual knowledge, spiritual contact. And this is what everyone's really hankering for. It's the only thing that releases people from the illusion, from the suffering that goes on in the material world. And that's separation from Krishna, identifying with this dark material world. So this is the greatest charity, to go door to door and meet people and give them an opportunity to see Krishna, to hear Krishna. I mean, it's a complete package. If they, if you meet somebody at their door, and they can purchase a transcendental literature, and they can have a little prasadam, and they can learn the mantra, those three things, then practically, you've given them, a brilliant start in Krishna consciousness. That alone that will never go in vain. And even if you can do something less than that, even a tiny bit, just if you meet them, if they, Prabhupada said, if they touch the book, if they look at it, they hear one word, one line from it, they get a little prasadam even if they don't take the book, or if they just have a favorable impression. Or as I said before, even if they have an unfavorable impression, which we're not advocating, we advocate the opposite, but as long as they have some contact with devotees, then they start their path back to Godhead. So it's so important to propagate Krishna consciousness. And in the process, when we get up and out for this kind of thing, when we're prepared for this, there's a certain momentum you get in Krishna consciousness from going out to meet other people. It's a kind of mercy that comes from taking up Krishna's work, the kind of work that he wants us to do. If we do it, then he gives us superior strength and knowledge in Krishna consciousness. Then chanting becomes more blissful, and we have a taste for it. From reading the books becomes something that our taste awakens when we distribute it to other people. So Prabhupada advocated this. He talked about how preaching was the topmost thing, live a life of distribution of Krishna consciousness to others. So that's what we advocate here. And whether or not we're going out tonight, that's another question, because it's raining outside. So we're still waiting to see what we're going to do. Do you have any ideas? Oh. Okay. It's up to the leaders and what the congregation feels about it. Okay. You were going to say?
Well, I'm not sure if you feel appropriate. I need to know, I think, I'm not sure which shastra it says, but neophyte who just started taking interest in Krishna consciousness can release up to 3 generations backward and forward or something. So could you please, if you feel appropriate and if time permits, interest permits, to talk on that line?
Yeah, it's in Shastra that if you are become a devotee, then others in your family also become benefited. There's a good example of that is Prahlad Maharaj. He was born in a demoniac family. Who was his father? Hiranyakashipu. So he was born in a demoniac family, but then generations later, Krishna was still giving special consideration to the members of his, generations later. So who were some of those people he gave consideration to? Bali Maharaj and? And Banasura, another demon. He spared Banasura and benedicted him because he said, he's in the, Lord Shiva reminded him too, but he said, he's a descendant of Prahlad Maharaj. So he just gave him benediction. So there are a couple different statements about how many generations forward and backwards. Some of them say that it depends on the quality of the devotee, and others just make a flat statement about how many generations are saved forward and backwards. There's a famous verse from Prahlad Maharaj, Viprad Vishad Gunanyatad Aravindanaba Padaravinda Vimukatsvapavan Varishtam Manye Tararpitara No Bachaneti Harta Pranam Punati Sakulam Natuburi Manaha. This verse, that Prahlad Maharaj brings out. I mean, he says, I'm born of a demoniac family. I mean, the whole thing starts, his prayers start with the fact that he says that the demigods came before Lord Nrisimhadev and they offered prayers, and Lord Nrisimhadev didn't accept them. He said, despite the fact that they were offered in perfect Sanskrit, they flowed out of them like, beautiful, rivers of poetry and everything like that, but Lord Nrisimhadev was still angry, not pacified by the demigods. So then Prahlad Maharaj came forward. And at first he said, what can I say? I'm born in a demoniac family and I'm just a kid. What am I going to do that the demigods did? What am I going to offer the demigods didn't offer? And then he gave this other verse that he said, he realized, what was it? Manye tadar pitamano vachitam. No, forgetting the verse now. Bhaktyat, anyway, the important part. Bhaktyatu tosha bhagavan gajayutapaya. He remembered Bhaktyatu tosha bhagavan gajayutapaya. That Gajendra was an elephant. And he said he offered prayers, and the Lord was pleased with that, so I might as well try. And then he said that anyone born in, even, you know, in a low family, he said even somebody born in the family of dog eaters, if they become a Vaishnav, a Bhakta, if they offer prayers, then the Lord will accept it. But he said even a Brahmin who has all kinds of qualifications, if he's not a devotee of the Lord, then he can't save himself. Whereas the Vaishnav, the devotee, even if he's from a family of dog eaters, then he can save not only himself, but his whole family. And that also includes generations of people forward and backward, because the Lord considers all that, you know, who he's related to. In fact, Krishna consciousness is very much, it's not what you know, it's who you know. It's how you're connected, really. And if you're connected in the right line, it's very similar to many things. As I've said before, I saw a sign that said, I think it was a T-shirt, somebody's T-shirt said, a good lawyer knows the law. A great lawyer knows the judge. So it's the same Krishna consciousness that if you have the right connections, you may be an insignificant person. But if you're connected properly, then the consideration is there. So generations before and after Krishna knows. Vedaham samatitani vartamanani charjana bhavishani chabutani mamtu vedana kashchana. He says, I know past, present, and future. I know everyone, but no one knows me. So you know, we take it like that to devote our life to Krishna. Just do what he says. It's the simplest thing, actually. Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. Mami vaishyasi yukvayam atmanam aparayana. Just surrender to him. I mean, it's so easy. Just, you know, he's the supreme personality of Godhead. Bow down to him. Just become a devotee of the supreme personality of Godhead and worship him. There's all kinds of ways to worship him. And become his devotee. Do his work. And then there's no problem. And everyone becomes benedicted. All right? Hare Krishna. Rustico.
I was wondering how to take when you're in a neophyte position and you try to do some preaching, but you misstep and say something wrong and do things improperly, and it creates seemingly a worse situation than when you, if you hadn't have said anything at all. So sometimes that comes into play in deciding to engage further in preaching activities, that kind of apprehension.
Well, let me ask you a question, since you're the most expert harmonium player we have here. When you first started playing the harmonium, did you ever hit a wrong note?
Every note's the wrong note.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's the answer. I mean, when you're going to preach, you have to learn how to preach. It's an art, actually. Distributing books is an art.
So what happens to those people who...
Well, you can ask them. I mean, a lot of times, I mean, people who are, Krishna consciousness is so powerful, and preaching is so powerful, that practically, even if somebody is inept when they present it, I mean, we're not advocating that. We'd like to have people go out who are extremely, you know, trained, and that people see them as ideal kind of character, and that's what we talk about all the time. But if someone goes out and they're not, for some reason, you'd be surprised, because really Krishna's involved. I've seen so many situations. I remember when I first started distributing books at Fisherman's Wharf in San Francisco, and then this devotee joined, and they wanted me to take him out and show him how to distribute books. And he was a stutterer. Like, he could barely get a sentence out. It would take 5 minutes for him to say something. And I thought, how am I going to teach this devotee how to, you know, sell books? It requires a little bit of an ability to talk and this and that. And he couldn't talk. practically. You know, he would start to talk to somebody, and it was like, come on. But you know what happened? We took him out, and everyone had so much sympathy for him. When they'd stop, they'd go, yes, yes, what is it? Yes, okay, okay. He wants you to buy a book. And he'd go, okay. They thought, darn, you know, I should have thought of that. And many other cases where, you know, you don't know how Krishna is going to make up for it. You know, he says, I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. So, you know, there can be all kinds of circumstances, and really it's you make up for it. But it shouldn't stop you from going out and making the endeavor, because you learn by that. You know, when you go out and you're actually, you know, in a live situation, it happens all the time. Every time you preach, practically, this should happen. You'll go and give a class, or you'll talk to somebody, and then at night when you're falling asleep, you should think, darn, I should have said this, I should have said that. You know, I should have known this, or should have known, and then you'll go back, you'll be stronger. But that's the only way you do it. Therefore, we say always better service, because it's ever increasing. And the only way you get better is to be out there doing it, you know. It's better to do, and then adjust as you're going forward. You got no problem, Rasikananda, with that. People see you, they'll become a devotee anyway, no matter what you say. Hare Krishna. So we're counting down the minutes, because tonight is Sankirtan Sunday. That means, as everyone knows here at ISV, that there's an opportunity to go out door-to-door Sankirtan, which, as I was saying before, it's the most wonderful kind of Sankirtan. You know, something kind of mystical happened to me. Yesterday I went out on book distribution door-to-door with Bhakta Daniel, Ram Lakshana, and Bhakta Leon. And we went in Burlingame, right down the street from where I live. And it was really good. And I came back so enthusiastic about it. And I was thinking that night, and I think I even was telling somebody that this is, you know, we should really get more into this door-to-door and have everyone do door-to-door Sankirtan, because it's so fun and so easy. And this morning I got a message from a devotee I've never heard of before. She got my name from Facebook or something and sent me a message. And she said, you know, I'd really like to get more into book distribution, but I'm not. But what I'm thinking about doing more than anything is something like what the Jehovah's Witnesses do. They go door to door and they meet people, and then they come back and they sit with them and they talk to them and everything like that. And she said, I was thinking of doing this with Prabhupada's books, you know, for book distribution. What do you think? I was thinking, amazing. I was just thinking about it the night before, and then she brought that up. So I gave her an enthusiastic answer that she should try it. Yes.
So do we have like a little card that goes to the books that say, you know, to schedule a free appointment with the devotees, give us a call. We'll be happy to come over.
No, but we'd like you to, if you could create that on a, you know, a template, maybe like, I don't know, 8 up on a page or whatever, business card size. Yeah, that would be good. That would go well along with the book distribution. And then we can come back, because it would have been nice. I know where the guy lives who was so enthusiastic last night, and he's in my neighborhood, so I can go back and visit him and see. But if I had set an official appointment and it's part of our repertoire when we do go door to door using your new card thing, then you will go back and we'll meet them. And I'm sure those ladies who gave us a loaf of bread, they would have loved for us to come back. They're from Peru. I was going to bring Chaitanya Leela and Sachimata over, and the little baby. We'll all go over and they have a little program at their house. You know, it's nice. This way we know where they live and we can follow up with them and, you know, have little centers, little Krishna conscious centers all over. They can chant japa, have a full set of books, things like that. Invite all their friends. So, as I say, we're counting down. We're not sure if we're going out. But we can. No one can stop you if you want to. You can't be stopped. Those who wish to, you know, can to join with a party. We're going to have some parties outside available. We have some spots. Give us an assessment. What's the situation? Is it raining? So what do you think? Does that make it a lot more difficult? Okay. Yes?
We are not the fair weather army. And while we were coming, actually, we had a little struggle, and I was driving a little aggressively to reach here at 5:30. Mm-hmm. We almost missed an accident. So I was telling to Bharat Prabhu that we should not be fair weather devotee too. So I prefer we should go.
But I also don't want anybody to have an accident either.
Well, that's what I told him, that I don't want to be behind the wheels now. I will be rather going as a as a passenger.
I see. Okay, so we have one participant for sure. There's two. You know, on one side, you have this, you don't want to have devotees go out in the rain and all this kind of stuff, because it's a little sloppy out there. It is dangerous driving around. On the other side, you know, there's special mercy going out. Bana, what's your opinion? I mean, those who want to can. We can have a smaller party, or everyone can go as they like. It's really a voluntary thing. We just have it set up, and it's available. And we would be going out what time if we go?
Usually 6:30.
Oh, usually 6:30. Okay. And do we have the normal, everything's lined up in, for those who are interested? Okay. And do we have the leaders here ready to go, some? Leaders, book spots, everything. They're not undercover, all of them. A lot of open. Okay, well, look at you two. It's your program, actually. I think you should decide. Yeah, that's true. Next Sunday. What's the date? 28th. Still within the month. Next Sunday, the 28th. Yes. Okay, that's another point. We can have the Sunday feast earlier, starting as soon as we like. If everyone wants to agree, we can move it to an earlier time. We can either move it a little earlier, or we can make it a lot earlier. You can adjust it as you like. It'd be better for everybody, probably, for the cleaners not getting home late, kids who have to go to school the next day. It's nicer when it's light outside, right? Gaurang Kishore has been pushing for this. So what time? Then it's okay. But it's dark and rainy, then it's not so good for the devotees. It's not good to risk it, probably. Okay, so let's vote right now. Everyone's here. You're all stalwart Sunday program attenders because you're here early. And what time would you like to have the Sunday program, which would be more beneficial? Could we establish a time, and then we'll have to line it up with the cooks and the pujaris and everything, which won't be too hard. Yes, Rakshit? 11 o'clock in the morning till 1 is one suggestion, huh? Well, we'll try it. If we don't like it, you know, we can adjust it back, but we could try it and see how we like it. Nothing's permanent. So 11 o'clock is one suggestion. I mean, a lot of churches start their on Sunday. They start at 8 or 9 o'clock. Could do that if you like, or 11 o'clock. Let's have a little feedback. How do you all feel about that? Kishore, you like 11 o'clock? Okay, 11 to 1. Anybody else? You like it? 11 to 1. 11 onwards. Okay, we'll end up at 9 o'clock anyway at night. Not your arm. Okay, we could try 11 o'clock then. Now, a matter of the devotees who cook means they have to come in early on Sunday morning. Okay. We could talk to the cooks and make sure. We're talking about, Neil, we talked about this at your house, about moving the Sunday program to 11. I think you were in favor of that, right? Sonal, what do you think? 11 o'clock Sunday program? Huh? Okay. Well, let's try that, and we can always adjust it if we don't like it. And yeah, we have to let everybody know. And I'm sure there'll be a little bit of overlap. A few people will show up for the regular program, so we'll have to cover for that until we get in full swing. Bali Mardan Prabhu, comment? Yeah. What's that? Sankirtan planning? Oh, yeah. We're talking about the Sunday feast. The Sunday festival, starting at 11 o'clock, and then going till, say it would be 11, and then we'd have an artik. There's an artik at noon, right? And then every Sunday would be Sankirtan Sunday from there. That's one thing. Yes, Milan? Okay, so this we talked about before. There's people do family things on Sunday. In other words, they have to go to soccer or they have to. There's some family thing they have to do, and if we did it at 11 o'clock, that takes away that. Right? Yes?
Well, if we go out at 11, we've got 6 hours to do religious tours, and I come back at 6 and have a kirtan festival here.
Okay.
I moved from Virginia. In Potomac Temple, Maryland, they did the same thing because people used to go home at like 9, 10, and they actually started 2 hours, you know Prabhuji, right? Like 2 hours early, and everyone liked it. Initially, like some, like 2-3 Sundays, like people used to come late, but then all people realized that this is the best. So, I mean, it went really well. I mean, you can still see people are coming like 4 o'clock. But
what time does it start now?
They used to start like 6:30, but now it's 5 o'clock. Before 5 p.m. actually.
5 p.m. But
4:30. Yeah, 4:30 exactly. 5 o'clock they start the arati, so 4:30 they start, and by the 6:37, everything will be done. Like, and they just go home, so people can clean temple and everything. They can go by.
What
nine.
About the fact that, you know, when we have monthly Sankirtan festival, Sunday is a day when devotees are out most of the day. On Sunday. What about that?
If you have inoculum, that's a nice way of avoiding the lunch.
Okay. Yeah. Let's just move in. So it's good. We're covering the whole spectrum of possibilities here. So who's for Mangal Artik on Sunday? Okay. Good. That's an idea. Yes, Rakshit?
On the comment about book distribution timings, devotees can go out pretty much any time on Sunday. There are certain slots like Farmers Market, which operate in the mornings like 10 to 12:30, and then they close down at 1. So there would be that overlap. But other than that, going to stores and other places, devotees can pretty much adjust their time. I guess the other leaders can come.
Okay, so only the farmer market distributors. Okay, all right. Okay. Bali?
So they also chant in Sunday morning, but sometimes it conflicts with God of Parent. They are engaged in different sports or other activities. And they do, some people go Harinam and do this in the daytime rather than in the evening. So they prefer, you know, arti and all the things in the evening, but they move 1 hour or 2 hours prior to their schedule. So that's when they move a bit earlier.
Yeah. If we okay, so what's what we're really talking about now is if we go early in the morning. Well, it's not early in the morning, but 11 o'clock in the morning, huh? If we go to 11 o'clock, then what we might be up against is the social calendar of the community, which means, you know, people have things planned for Sunday morning, like sport events and things like that for the kids, right? Is that a problem for anybody here?
It would be a good idea, really, to know how many have that sport activity overlap, because a lot of activities are occurring on Saturday. So if there is a large group of people who have a conflict with that, then I think it's an issue. Otherwise, it's just a thought.
Okay, let's see if it's an issue or a thought. For those of you who it's an issue, for Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, you have a conflicting social calendar on a regular basis, please raise your hand if it's a conflict at 11 o'clock. Oh, no, some of our best devotees. So it would be hard for you at 11 o'clock on Sunday, okay? Well, that almost ruins the whole thing right there. Okay, anybody else? It's a conflict? Yeah. Yeah. That's right. We'd have to adjust that. Right. Okay. So then the other thing is moving it a couple hours earlier. That means maybe starting at 3 o'clock. No? 4. Yes. 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock. That means having the artik earlier. Because it really, if we start at 4 o'clock and everyone just comes a little bit before the artik, it doesn't really change much anyway. Right? That we don't get anything, a significant movement out of it. Who didn't like 3 o'clock? You don't like 3 o'clock. Doesn't work for you because it cuts the day in half? Cuts the day in half, basically. You don't have enough time in the morning and then you got to start. Then, so you kind of get the worst of both worlds. Yes, Hansapriya? Uh-huh. Okay. Grunge Shor Prabhu is recommending that we move the Saturday program to Sunday morning. No Saturday program. Move that to Sunday morning. Huh? Well, that's how I said it. No Saturday program? I'll let him speak for himself. Go ahead, Karanga.
So my idea was that it would be more efficient for everyone. We'd do the same amount of programs. You'd come at Saturday at the same time, and it would basically go until midday. We could lead right into an RT, and then we could have a Bhagavad Gita lecture on midday or something, and then prasadam. So it'd all be, since most people don't leave on Saturday until 1 or 2 or whatever, by the time you chant your rounds, or it seemed like it might be more. And then on Sankirtan festivals, you'd have all of Saturday, and then Sunday afternoon as well.
It's two prasadams.
We could do two prasadams. We could have a very simple, maybe just like I'm thinking this. They do this in Chaupati. They have khichdi every after like the Bhagavatam class. They have a khichdi and then kind of a short intermission, and then the Sunday program starts. Like you only have time to chant a few rounds or meet with devotees for a little while, and then the Sunday program starts sometime after that. Okay. Pretty soon after that.
Hansapriya and then Praveena. Could you take the mic, please?
Whole day stretch would be difficult.
Mike.
The whole day stretch would be difficult for the parents with the small children. And the other thing is the Saturday morning has a different mood. It's a whole different mood. And it's also nice to just, you know, meditate on what has been spoken on Saturday class on Saturday and then come for another nectar on next day. Okay. And have a time to catch up.
Thank you. Praveena?
So all the 5 days we work, so the 2 days I'll be so happy thinking that Saturday and Sunday I go to temple. So
the fear is kind of, yeah, they kind of get, you do all on one day, and then all of a sudden it, you kind of, like, there used to be a San Francisco temple and there's a Berkeley temple, and then they decided like 10 years ago or something, let's merge the San Francisco temple and the Berkeley temple, we'll get one big mega temple. And all that happened was the San Francisco temple disappeared and you had the same Berkeley temple as you ever had. It's like, what'd you get? Instead of two temples, one. That's kind of what you're saying, right? Right. I see. Don't look so morose. We still might be able to pull this one out. Huh? Rasika.
Add a Sunday program on Saturday and add a Saturday program on Sunday and just have tea cold.
Okay. Okay, well, there's another thing. I mean, we could just... So far, what it's sounding like is it's a dramatic move, moving it to 11 o'clock. But if we try... Oh, good. We've got something from Kishore. But yeah, bail us out here, would you?
Just trying to derive the people's opinion. It yes. seems like people want two programs, Saturday morning and Sunday. But it seems afternoon may be an issue. So probably moving at 4 o'clock may be a good idea. And the aarti has to be moved an hour or okay. so before.
That sounds like a good way to start. Is that okay with you, Milan Prabhu? Okay, so look at. Let me just put this proposal. Let's say we do the start the program at 4. What time does it officially start now? 5. It officially starts at 5. Okay, so now we're going to officially start at 4. And then the Artik now is supposed to be at? Okay, so before and 6. 4 and 6. So we start at 4, Artik's at 6 rather than 7, right? It gets dark at 5:30, so it's still light. And if we do the Sankirtan Sunday, it'll still be a little bit light when the devotees go out. Also, Neil, I think Neil was saying that a lot of times on Sankirtan Sunday, if you go out too late anyway, people are eating dinner or just finishing or something. It's not the ideal time. So that's something to consider. So how about that? 4 o'clock start to try, you know, to get this going. And then Artik is 6 o'clock, and then we end it, everything should wrap up an hour earlier, including the cleaning and everything like that. Yes?
Actually, since we are trying to reduce the load, physical cleaning and all that, so, particularly for
winter, I guess if prasadam is pushed a little ahead also, so no lighting and that kind of extra effort required to dismantle, put it on and things like that. So if you use sunlight, that would be also better, isn't it?
So what do you...
Like those lights and everything need to be put right now. So if we can skip that also...
So you're agreeing with the 4 o'clock?
Yeah, something like that. It should be done in sunlight or something. Is it possible? Also shifted so that there is no...
Prasadam early.
So there is... The reason is... the main reason I'm saying this is because 5 o'clock nobody shows up here. So if there is a prasadam, at least there is some hope.
I see.
we need to give it to Krishna. He will decide.
Rakshit Prabhu.
The Artik could be moved to 5:30. We still have 90 minutes from 4 to 5:30.
Mm-hmm.
The way many Sunday feasts have gone, on an average, a lecture would start at 5:30 and Artik would be at 7.
Right.
So we have those 90 minutes and Artik could start a little earlier. And so then we are looking at by 6:15 or so, prasadam can be served after the Narasimhadev Aarti. Even though some chanting may go on here, the prasadam can be started after the Narasimhadev Aarti.
Aarti 5:30, right. Okay. That's a possibility. Have an hour and a half for hearing and chanting together, and then the Aarti 5:30 prasadam can start as soon as the Nisringa prayers start, like around 6 o'clock. Devotees who want to can go out, and usually it happens like that anyway these days. So some of the chanting goes on, some devotees stay, some go take prasadam. But still, that adds an extra half hour. It makes an extra less half hour. It makes it earlier half hour for cleaning and everything like that. What do you think of that? Anything else you think that cuts into anything? Start at 4, Artik at 5:30. Prashanam can start right after Nrsingha prayers, and we're getting a net gain of 2 hours, practically. Yes?
Sorry, I'm just kind of trying to figure out what's going on. Why are we trying to change the schedule again?
Because it gets dark, late. Devotees are getting home late. The cleaning crew's in here till midnight sometimes on Sundays. They have to work the next day. Children, I got to be at school. Parents have to have them in bed. They have to go to work early in the morning.
So it's not just for next Sunday, but it's for eternal Sundays.
As I say, we can adjust it as we like, but we're trying to make the most logical conclusion as far as how to adjust it so you know we can please the most devotees, not lose any of our really important people. And then we'll try it. And if it just doesn't work, we can adjust it the other way.
And we can't go out on book distribution earlier in the day and then come back and have a Sunday program.
No, we'd like that. Everyone should go out all day long and come back. I mean, that's possible also. But the point of the Sunday Sankirtan Sunday is, can everyone move up a little bit? The point of the Sankirtan Sunday is that it's introducing new people to come on Sankirtan who generally, it makes it easy if they can just walk out and get in a car. And then if they have the impetus to go out early or something like that, you're not going to catch those people. Right? Okay.
Prabhu.
Yes.
Just one thought. So on Sundays, what time we go for book distribution? Like about 6 o'clock or about 5 o'clock?
If we had Sankirtan Sunday?
Yes. Because most people are not home by 4 or 5 o'clock.
Right. It wouldn't start then. The hearing and chanting would start here at 4. And then, say, if we did a Sankirtan Sunday, maybe like by 5 o'clock or so. Right? They could leave right before the Artik? Usually there's a little bit of a build-up, and then there's a break, and everyone can get in the car. Probably just do it quicker, faster. I mean, start at 4. Everyone can leave at 5. Because it's nice when the devotees can come back from the Sankirtan to join a little bit of the Kirtan, right, at the end.
The only thing would be, the question would be, how many people would be in by 5 o'clock? Challenge.
Yeah,
because
well,
the
that's
idea
question.
Is to take as many people as possible.
I guess where attention goes, energy flows. And it's a matter of... if we talk about it and we have a set program that people know they'll come to and they'll get something out of it and we make it available, then, you know, people come. It's just a matter of everyone's making choices every day about where to go and when. And if we make it appealing and they know that if they come at a certain time, you know, they'll get something, just like people come closer to Prashadam time because they know what they're going to get. You know, it's appealing. It's like that all over the universe, actually. Not just here, every single place in the universe. But, you know, it's just a matter of, you know, deciding, and then it'll adjust according to people's desire. And always, you know, you're going to have an 80-20 effect everywhere anyway. So you just have to make the schedule and then go for it and then make it as nice as you can. So I think we've come to a conclusion, which is really nice. That means... Okay, Gaurang Kishore, let's see if you can scuttle the whole thing.
Now I was just going to say about the 11 o'clock. Would it be worth trying it for a couple weeks or a week or just to see? Because it's a big dramatic change. I think it's hard to sort of imagine what it would be like without actually doing it. And if we just move in an hour, we may never... You know, while we have the momentum to actually maybe do something, it might be worth doing something just to try it out while we're in that. Because normally we get in the frame mode where we don't do anything different. It's kind of keep things going the way they are.
If you want to try it one time or something like that, one or two times, it's a lot of adjusting because it means announcing it. It means making available. The cooks, the pujaris, everything like that.
Well, yeah, it would only be worth it if
Artik
you tried
at
it for
what
like
time?
A month, I think, to actually get in the rhythm of it.
Mm-hmm.
Try like 12:30 or something.
Rusty.
I just noticed when they changed the schedule in Washington, D.C. when I was there, I was used to going in the evening time, and they changed it to earlier. And
earlier means what?
They changed it from 6 to 4, or like 4:30.
Like we're doing.
Yeah, they started at 4:30.
Yeah.
And so I just never really changed my habit, and I just kept coming, but I just always ended up, you know, I missed the kirtan, I missed the class, and, you know, get there for prasadam. And I didn't like that, but that just how it turned out. So I'm not saying that, you know, I'm the best example, but it's just kind of like that's that will happen for a
sure
while.
I think we try it. I mean, I don't think we're, since we're talking about it and we want to have it successful, I don't think it's an axiomatic truth that we can't, you know, do a dramatic change later. I think that once we start playing with it, that we can also decide like this again if we want to do something else. But I don't think an hour change is insignificant either. It actually makes a big difference. So the light is there, and we have kind of a consensus, so I think we should try it. And if we move it and we feel so optimistic that we want to try another bigger change, then we can reconvene. And I think we should all be aware of it, you know, and bring it up. If you see an advantage in changing it some other way, then bring it up and we'll consider it. But for now, let's formalize this and say that we're going to have a 4 o'clock start, and an artik would be at 5:30. And then prasadam at 6. And at temple saving time instead of daylight saving time. Okay. Yeah, that's good. You'll be part of the marketing of this. You can sell it to everybody, right?
It's daylight saving. We're saving people during the daylight.
We're saving people during the daylight. Yeah, that's working. You'll be on the marketing team too, if, obviously. Okay, so those in favor of changing the Sunday program to a start time and who would also like to come a little earlier, because we're going to cut out at least a half hour of hearing and chanting, which really wrenches me. And we start at 4 o'clock, have artik at 5:30, prasadam at 6. Please raise your hand if you're in favor of that change. Wow, Gurung has got his hand up. Okay. Anybody who is not in favor of that and really feels rankled by this whole thing and is just going to boycott? No. Anybody who has, you know, hasn't spoken yet or really feels like we're doing the wrong thing, and you'd speak now or forever hold your peace? Nobody. Okay. So let's try for this. Bali, okay? Okay, so resolved that we will do this new scheduling. It will get us some more sunlight. It will put a relief on the devotees who are cleaning. And now we just have to deal with some of the details like the cooks, the children for the school, and also the pujaris, and adjusting the schedule. And then we've got it. And when would you like to start? Okay, here's a suggestion. We start in the new year. Bali had a suggestion? Yeah. Right. We have to talk to those three, you know, departments, but just in general, everyone wants to start in the new year, or are you anxious to start soon? I mean, just in case they can, right? Start in the new year, raise your hand. If you'd like to start in the new year, if you want to start, what? How many Sundays we have left? Only one? If you want to start next Sunday, raise your hand. Okay. Well, this is just an advisory because obviously we have to remove the contingencies, the other three that we talked about. So taking the will of the people, the will of the devotees, we'll try for next week. If we can do that, we will. Otherwise, we'll have to do it when it's practical, when everyone can be on the same page. And we'll announce it on the email, and make sure that is everyone here on the email list? The ISV email list? If you're not, you're not on the list. Could somebody please put Rusty Kananda on all the lists? You can put him on. Okay. Anybody who's not on our mailing list, we have several. One is for, ISV, which means you get all the general announcements when things are happening. And then there's for those who are interested in Sankirtan and book distribution, you'll get more details about spots to go to and scores that are coming in and exciting news about Sankirtan. That's another list. So if you're not on the list, see Praveena and she'll sign you up and make sure that you're on there, or Kishore, and they'll make sure that you get on the list. Okay? All right. So we're not going out tonight because it's raining and it's dark, and we want to make sure that the devotees are safe and warm and, you know, not driving around in the slush and the rain. So we've come to the end of our time for the class. So we're going to have the Artik now. And just after Artik, we'll have Prashadam. And as usual, of course, it's raining and wet, so a lot of the Prashadam activity will take place in the middle unit, right? So for those of you who want to go get started with the Prashadam, it's perfectly all right as soon as the Nisringadev prayers are coming to a conclusion. They come and go pretty quickly. You can go and have Prashadam if you want. And those who want to stay a little bit longer and chant a few more of the prayers that we do, then you're welcome to do that also. Okay? Any last points? Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Goprimanande hari hari bo. So if we can all, in an efficient manner, put all the books back up on the shelf and the asans back in a stack, then we'll have Artik straight away. Hare Krishna.